Hi, I'm Gary from Stonyfield, the organic yogurt company. Do you know what that certified organic label on your food really means? Learn all about that label and why organic is worth it at stonyfield.com. We're proud to be making organic yogurt and honored to support living on Earth, and hope you will too. Donate at loe.org.
The scene is mid-February on the steps of the Lamar County Courthouse in Paris, Texas.
Don't mess with Texas!
Protesting against the proposed Keystone XL pipeline was an unlikely coalition of environmental groups and Tea Party libertarian types. The company TransCanada wants to build the pipeline to carry crude oil from the tar sands of Alberta, 1,700 miles to refineries on the Gulf Coast. President Obama put construction on indefinite hold pending an environmental review, but inside the Lamar courthouse, lawyers for Texas landowners were fighting to prevent TransCanada from taking their property for the pipeline by eminent domain. The practice is permitted by the U.S. Constitution, but the Texas judge handed landowners a temporary injunction halting construction. It's just one of several similar lawsuits in the Lone Star State. Leading the charge against the taking of private property by a private company is Deborah Medina. She's a former Republican candidate for governor and head of the property rights group We Texans. Also joining me from Sacramento, California is David Bremer, an eminent domain attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation. Hi, Deborah.
Good to be with you, Bruce.
And David Bremer, welcome to Living on Earth, too.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, Deborah. You're against the pipeline. Why?
I'm against the use of eminent domain for private business.
What do you mean?
The law is very clear that those pipelines must serve a public purpose. So what happens in practice is these pipelines cloak themselves in that regalia. Then they like to do that because then they have the power of eminent domain, and they can just take the property that they deem they need for their business. And we believe that's exactly what's happening here, and there's a bit of controversy over that.
Well, Dave Bremer, you're an expert in eminent domain issues. Help us out.
Ultimately, it comes down to the question of whether the project is serving a public use, really providing a public benefit rather than simply a private one. This specific question about TransCanada, it's a very hard question. It looks in a lot of ways like other things that have always been allowed as public uses, specifically like utility, cable companies, power companies. There's easements all over the place with these things buried underground that were taken by eminent domain. But this case is strange, in my opinion, because the pipeline hasn't even been approved, and they're going around taking people's property. And I think that gives it a whole new gloss where something doesn't smell right.
I think that that's one of the things that's been most eye-opening for the landowners, if you will. I think many of them suspected that once the presidential permit was denied, that the eminent domain takings would cease. So we've got a recent Supreme Court case from August of last year, the Denbury Green Pipeline case, where the Supreme Court found for the landowner, saying that the pipeline company that had exercised eminent domain was in fact a private business, not serving the public interest, and therefore should not have had the ability to use eminent domain to take property. We're anxious to see that similar question raised in the TransCanada Keystone XL case. Unfortunately, you've got a multi-billion dollar pipeline company that has a very sophisticated legal team, and very difficult for landowners to amass the resources to get themselves into court to fight that fight.
So the question is one of public use. I'm reading something from the president of the Greater Port Arthur Chamber of Commerce. And Port Arthur is where two of the refineries that this oil would be used on the Gulf Coast. And he says this: "There is not a politician in Texas in their right mind, I don't care if you're a Democrat or Republican, that doesn't know the importance of this to all of Texas." I looked at some of the economic breakdowns. They're talking about $2 billion of economic value in terms of jobs. So isn't that, a public good?
Well, I would say that there's a very good chance it would be seen that way by a court. Those are all good things, and we are in favor of that type of development. So again, the standard is very loose. The public use standard is very loose. However, as far as I know, it has never permitted a government or a private company to condemn land for a project which may never actually be approved. Lost in all this is the fact that owners have to be fully and justly compensated, even if it is a public use. There's got to be full just compensation. And a lot of times what happens in these types of cases is the property owners are lowballed. They get told they're going to get compensated, but they get offered a very, very low price.
So Deborah Medina, is this just a negotiating strategy to get a better price?
We haven't heard that. Most of the objections that we're hearing are involving the terms of the contract rather than the price. The landowners are being told, for example, that they can't move heavy equipment over the top of the easement. Once the pipeline is buried, they can't drive a tractor. They can't drive anything heavier than a four-wheeler over the top of that buried pipeline. One particular property says, I'm a timber company. I've cut and harvested timber off of this property, and we've had a drought in Texas. We've had forest fires here. If there's a fire, I need to be able to move bulldozers and fire trucks, and I can't be prohibited from doing that. It wouldn't be safe. The company said, well, we won't allow that. And the gentleman said, well, then you're going to have to go around my property. And they said, no, we won't. We'll condemn it. And they have. They've condemned his property. They're going through his property. And they'd like the terms to be that he can't drive anything over the top of that pipeline.
Are there other environmental concerns that you might have there, Deborah?
I think from landowners, we're hearing a number of those sorts of concerns. One gentleman has 66 100-year-old trees that are going to be removed from his property in order to clear a path, and safety concerns. People want to know about possible water contamination. The company has had some leaks on the Keystone One, and there are concerns about that. So landowners come to the table of this negotiation with varied concerns, but unfortunately, many of those landowners have met with an obstinance from this company and an unwillingness to address those concerns, and so you have at least 89 eminent domain cases here in Texas that we've been able to document to date.
We have to remember, eminent domain is an extraordinary power. It's always disruptive, and most people's primary concern at first is not money. Their primary concern is keeping the use of their property and the enjoyment of their property. That is how it's always been. When you look at the railroads that were given the power of eminent domain in the 19th century to put rails across the United States, the same concerns came up there too.
Deborah, is this a case of very strange political bedfellows? The Tea Party has come out against this pipeline on the property issues in the eminent domain. So have libertarians, but so have environmentalists.
It is an interesting coalition. We are all coming, I think, to the table on this issue with some different concerns, but we see overlap, and common concern here is the behavior by this company, the way it's treating Texans, whether it's Texans who have environmental concerns or private property concerns. And so it's drawing those folks together to say, we don't like the way you're doing business here in our state or attempting to do business here in our state. And they're going to meet some resistance until either their behavior changes or they are able to address the concerns that Texans are raising.
So, David, when all is said and done in this case, what do you think is going to happen?
I think it's a close call. The law is not on the side of property owners right now, unfortunately, in this area. So if the project is approved, it's probably a public use under current law. If it's not approved, that's a strange situation.
Deborah, I give you the last word if you'd like.
Don't mess with Texas, Bruce.
Deborah Medina is director of We Texans. It's a public policy advocacy group in Wharton, Texas and Austin. Deborah, thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
And Dave Bremer is a property rights and an eminent domain attorney with the Pacific Legal Foundation in Sacramento, California. David, thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.
We received a written response from TransCanada. The pipeline company says the temporary restraining order is without merit, and the eminent domain process permits them to use the land in Texas. Quote, our commitment is to treat landowners with honesty, fairness, and respect, to work with them and come up with the best possible solution. Coming up, Captain Henry Hudson had it hard. His crew mutinied and he was cast adrift. Today, Arctic explorers have it easier, but not by much. Stay tuned to Living on Earth.
Support for Living on Earth comes from the Grantham Foundation for the Protection of the Environment, supporting strategic communications and collaboration in solving the world's most pressing environmental problems. The Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and Gilman Ordway for coverage of conservation and environmental change. This is Living on Earth on PRI, Public Radio International.